you're listening to Vexus Radio. We have Dame Shirley in. We've also got Lord Priest, Richard Priest is in. And we talked about the commemorations of World War One, and now we just want to talk about, you know, you've been in power now, if that's the right term, power. You don't see it as power, do you?
It's not power. It's certainly not power.
Representing.
We're just part of it. Yeah, that's
yeah.
it.
Just over a year.
Yep.
How's it all going?
I think we're making progress, but as we said before, there was a huge amount of challenge last year. Everyone knows on the island the situation in schools, with finances, with the economy. So there's a huge challenge facing the new administration, and in fact the whole council, because there were many new members across the chamber, and I think we're making slow progress in a very difficult financial climate.
I think a lot of the time people don't... They just want to... They sit on the outside. They don't really want to know too much about it, because it's much easier just to cast aspersions and, you know, have a bit of a moan and a whinge. I'll give you, for instance, and it's something that I did. I was guilty of probably about 4 years ago. Down the end of our road, Drillall Road, they pulled up the pavements and put in a different system in there. And we all sort of... Us around the area said, well, hang on a minute... Why are they doing that? There's other things that they could have done, which we badly need. The pavements were okay. And then somebody said, I think it was a councillor, we got him and we asked him, he said, well, basically, they've been allocated money, and the money is for that area, and they can't spend it on anything else. And I thought, right, okay, is that how it works? And then you start putting two and two together. You know, that's the reason why those things were done, because somebody had gone for some funding for it. They got the funding, but they couldn't spend it elsewhere. So rather than waste it, they did the work, which makes common sense. But if you don't find out those details, you're going to have that opinion of, well, what are they doing there?
Yeah, public finance is a very odd thing. Different grants give different priorities. And what I've always tried to do is get people to get involved early on in the process, before it's too late, because if people get involved at the start of something, they can prioritise where the council put in grant bids, rather than react after something starts happening. When you see roadworks, it's a done deal. The roadworks need to continue, rather than if you get in before they put the roadworks in, you've got more chance to influence when they're doing it, what they're doing, and whether or not they could use the resource somewhere else.
There's lots of things that what I would rather see is people being a little bit more positive, a little bit more maybe open and honest in their way of maybe putting things in the media. And you know, I really do think that is really vital at this moment in time, because we all need to be pulling together and pulling together in the right direction. And I feel that you guys sometimes get a tough time, and I know that, you know, the previous guys got a tough time, but they kind of shut everybody out and didn't want them to know. A quote from Roger Mazilius to someone that was trying to find out some details of why and how these certain things were being done, and he just turned around and said, you wouldn't understand it if I told you. And you think, well, hang on a minute, I'll explain it, I might do. And it was just a case of, well, we know, you don't need to. But I know that you guys are a little bit more open and well, not a little bit more, you are, you're open and transparent. We ask a question, you give us an answer, and it's a lovely thing. And I think what we need to do is really, you know, have a look at all the issues and don't just form an opinion, ask a question, you know. So, I mean, how do you think, just say, for instance, how do you think the roads are going? How do you think, I know it's not your bag.
If I pick up, and I'm quite happy to answer that, I'll just... Picking up the earlier sort of conversation about reflecting, people need to reflect on where they were 18, 12, 20 months ago in terms of the administration, how it worked. There were delegated decisions. Delegated decisions mean they weren't open to the public. One elected member, me or whoever my sort of counterpart was at the time, could make a decision that impacted on this island without it being debated, discussed or anything in chamber. That's what's changed. We've made those decision-making processes more open, transparent. But there is challenge. People will express a view. But I think this administration has made sure things are a lot more open. It means decisions take longer to achieve, which is frustrating, but at least they're open and we're accountable, and most of us get out there and hear concerns. You ask about Island Roads, and I know there's a lot of people that express concerns about that and car parking. My colleague, Councillor Gilby, actually met with a lot of the people that were objecting to some of the road issues, some of the issues regards car parking. He went and met and listened to what they say and had a debate. People have different views, and it's healthy that people have different views. People should get passionate about what's going on in their community. Like you said, that's where you live, so you've got a knowledge of how that area works. But at the same time, you've got to recognise we need to make some changes to try and make improvements, not just in the short term and in the long term, but we need to communicate that better. And you're absolutely right, the media needs to be a part of that communication of how we improve things on this island.
Do you feel, because I do sometimes, that maybe we twist a few things in the media just to sort of get a story, rather than get the, you know, the message out there and try and unite a few people? I that's my own opinion. Do you feel that too or not?
Absolutely. And it's sometimes, and I'm very boring sometimes to remind people the context. This administration didn't give the PFI for the roads a priority. That decision was made 2, 3, 4 years ago. So therefore, this administration is now trying to correct the failings of the contract that we inherited. We didn't negotiate that contract. This island, the previous council, had agreed a contract which we think have flaws, but because it was signed, sealed, delivered before we come into administration, we're now trying to correct that. The same with education. We can go back through the debate about how it was reorganised, but it has been reorganised. What this administration is now faced to do at Cowes and across the island is to correct the failings of what happened. It takes an awful lot longer to correct all of those mistakes. If there'd been proper planning, consultation and an openness and transparency, potentially some of those mistakes wouldn't have happened. So we're actually trying to correct something that is a failing that we didn't create. And the frustration is people think that we should correct it, and you think, no, we inherited this. It's a huge mess.
Okay, so here's a question that many people will probably be asking. That the PFI, because I want to talk about the Cowes thing as well, but the PFI thing, I mean, could you have gotten out of it?
No, it was a done deal. If you think about it, it took, I think the council had a project steering group for 6 years before any tarmac was laid. So heaven only knows the cost of that. So that huge infrastructure cost before any tarmac was laid. The deal was done. We're trying to correct some of the anomalies and some of the uncertainties. And in particular, that's exacerbated by a really bad winter that impacted on Totland, that impacted on places in Shanklin. There's been rockfalls on the island, Knight and Undercliff. All that huge impact on a small island at a time when we haven't got the financial resource to do the things that we'd probably like to do. Really, really frustrating. And trying to get people on board with how difficult it is isn't an easy task.
So when you go back to the PFI, let's deal with that one. Just one more final question on that. The PFI thing, I'm guessing, I'm not a solicitor, but if you were to have tried to get out of it, it would have cost us loads more money.
Loads of money. And in reality, there is a government grant. Now, I know people quibble about how much that is and everyone's going to have a view, but there is capital investment being made on this island, which is a good thing at a time of financial constraint. But there are flaws in the contract, which I know Councillor Gilby and others are trying to correct.
I've got to be honest. I mean, looking at it from another, take the politics out of it, but just look at our island roads. They've been bad, and they've been getting worse over the years. Whoever took that job on are on a hiding to nothing, aren't they? Because it is going to take a long time to
absolutely
sort out.
It's a 25-year project, and we're in year one and a bit. So it will take a long time to correct. I think, you know, having made that commitment 2 or 3 years ago as a council, we need to make it work for the best interest of the island. That's what we should do. We can quibble about it for years to come, but if we all try and challenge to make sure it is the best outcome for the island, then we're going to get more out of it than being negative about something, because we are where we are and we need to make sure it's value for money.
Well, I've got to be honest. I mean, obviously, at the very start of Island Roads taking over, there were a few teething problems. There were a few photographs of cars being tarmacked around. But I must admit, since then, it seems to have, you know, I've heard good things. You know, the roads now, somebody mentioned the road yesterday. Was it a Boldner Road or and they said that road is immaculate now. It's, you know, so they are doing some good stuff as well.
No, I think it will make a difference on the island. Whether or not you'd say that was a priority is a different matter. But having made that investment, that decision, then you want to make it work for the island. I think once all the lights are done, the roads are done, the pavements are done, that infrastructure, the island will look a better place.
Okay, let's turn our attentions to Cowes, if we can. I mean, what is the situation with Cowes? What's the updated situation?
Well, I think everyone's got to remember, and I keep, you know, reiterating it at council meetings across the piece, the challenge facing the council was schools that had the poorest attendance in the country by a country mile, lowest attainment rights, lowest standards, schools going in special measures, secondary schools failing here, there and everywhere. So we picked up a huge mess. You cannot resolve that overnight. So our focus in the first year has been to try and drive up attainment and attendance, so more children attend school. That's something I think we've been very effective on. If you look at the standards and the support we give to schools through the local authority, all of the sort of HMI, Her Majesty's Inspectors reports show the local authority now are doing their job in terms of challenging support to schools, and hopefully in a couple of weeks' time with GCSEs and A-levels, you'll see an improvement and an increase in the attainment of Isle of Wight students. That's our focus. Alongside that, we've got headaches like cows and some of the capital funding infrastructure on the island. Absolutely. And it's something we inherited again. It's something we absolutely inherited. It goes back to 2006. If I can, you know, in 2006, the council, and you can see the sort of minutes, made a decision to invest in cows as a Pathfinder Trust. 2006, 8 years ago, that decision was made. Many of the councillors currently in the council were part of that decision. Unfortunately, they tend to forget they were part of that decision and now challenge us to do something. Whereas you think, if you'd made the right decision 8 years ago, it wouldn't be in the place that we are. So we're faced with doing the right thing now. That means a range of things, mainly improving attendance and attainment at the school. And part of that journey, because they're in special measures, means transfer to an academy, which is what's happening on the 1st of September. But it's something that we've inherited, and you've got to do the right thing for the children of cows and the community of cows and the parents.
I mean, you've come under a bit of criticism for the decision that you've made. I mean, what else could you have done?
Well, you're back to that. It's a rock and a hard place. I don't know what the alternatives are, in the sense of it would have been a massive exercise to do that, and I don't think it would have achieved anything like people expect. The focus has got to be raising attainment and attendance of children. That's what our focus is on. So we're supporting cows and every other school on the island to do that. That's the focus. When people start talking about the building, where the building's a separate issue, the previous administration entered into a contractual agreement with the funding agency to deliver a school. They didn't do that. We're having to do that. There is a contract that we have to honour. That's the story. There was also, because of the school going into category, because it was failing, not fit for purpose in terms of an educational environment for the children, which is the bit that matters, because it is about the education of our children, because it was failing, they were deemed that they needed to transfer into academy status. You therefore need to get on with it. We need to transfer it to an academy. That's what we're doing. And I think it's important, rather than sending out negative messages to the academy sponsor, which is Ormiston, you need to be saying, we welcome you, we want you here, we want this to work. Rather than be confrontational, we actually want this to work. Yeah. Otherwise, why go into partnership with someone? It's sending out the wrong message at the wrong time.
About a year ago, I was talking to a lady whose son was going to Cowes, and he had, in that particular year, he had 10 different math teachers. Is that still going on, or is that being, you know, repaired, if you
It's calming down across the island. I think because people have a lot more trust in the system, a lot more trust in the authority challenging schools, there is that calming down. But there is still the churn, because people, and regrettably teachers, are not as confident as they are increasingly becoming in terms of the Isle of Wight and the educational provision on the island. There's so much churn and uncertainty going back. We need to calm down. People need to see that they have a future. There is an investment in that future. And the results will reflect, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, what that investment's sort of repaying to the island.
OK. It was someone else. I was talking to this lady a couple of days ago. Same lady. And she says, yeah, things are getting slightly better at Cowes. So her son's, I think he's got another 2 years. But he was telling me, then he piped up with, we all got these laptops, and none of them worked at the time, because it was something to do with the Wi-Fi. I mean, how do you feel as, not so much a councillor, but how do you feel as a person? There we are, we're talking about war in 1 minute, and respect, and earning respect, and so on and so forth. I don't know, when I was at school, I was never given anything, you had to earn it. So how do you feel about these people getting just, you know, everybody in the school apparently had to have a laptop? I don't know whether, who paid for them. Did we, the council, pay, or did they have to pay for themselves?
Ultimately, everything comes out of the public purse. So sure. Whether or not it's the council tax, or whether or not it's the local government funding, or whatever the situation is, ultimately it's the public purse. Schools and learning environments are totally changing. You're absolutely right on that. The learning environment, more people learn through tablets now than when I was at school, which was chalk and talk. It's that shift. We need to provide the right tool for our children to learn in this sort of current age. But I think we need to instill in children the ability to respect that this is not free, it is funded, and someone's made a sacrifice so that you can learn. And I think you're absolutely right. When you look outside this country and see the learning environment of many places across not only the world, you actually then begin to appreciate our young people have got a really good opportunity, but we've got to encourage them as families, as communities, to make the most of their learning opportunity.
I mean, the other thing to remember is, and maybe it's a good point to make, where, you know, we all think that, you know, schools, they get this, they get that, but these things kind of cost money, and, and maybe we should point that out. The only thing that's different here is, like you say, the chalk and talk thing, which I like that. I'm going to use that from now on. But, you know, things have changed dramatically, and for these kids to be up to date and, you know, try and get a job at the end of it, they need these tools. And I say, obviously, that they cost. But it's a real eye-opener, because if you were to say to my mum, 81 years old, maybe if you'd have said to Shirley before we'd had this conversation, they might be thinking, laptops? What do they need laptops for? But they do. They do need something to keep them, you know, up to date. And you know, we all know that computers now play a massive part in our everyday life, sadly.
But you're absolutely right. We need to equip children with the right skills and right intelligence and right knowledge base to have a chance of making the most of their opportunities in the future working world. Things are changing so rapidly over the next 10, 20 years. We need to equip them with the right skills to make the most of their life chances. And at the end of the day, we've got an interest, because they're the children, they're the generation that's going to be looking after us. So there is a selfishness, if you like, in us doing the right thing now, because they are our future. Absolutely.
Got a question for you, Shirley. Everyday lady off the street, now you're made aware of, you know, laptops. I mean, your first opinion may have been, laptops? What are they getting laptops for? But has your opinion changed?
No, they do need them. I mean, you know that I go into the school and my son's a teacher, and they've got laptops, so many laptops in the school. You know, they sort of say, right, you go and get a laptop. Every child in that class will have one, and they'll work on it. But going back to right when I used to do the preschool, three-year-old children, we got laptops for the computers for them. So they're starting at three, and, you know, which helps them going through the school, obviously.
Do you know, it's all about awareness, and I say I think the awareness is important here, because
some parents can't afford to buy them at home. I do know that, so they just have to use the school ones.
I think the awareness is really, really vital, that we you know, communicate with people, because there are some people out there that are completely out of touch. They just think, you go to school, you come home, laptops, that's going to cost money. You know, money we haven't got, but it's a necessity.
It's absolutely critical. If I just a connection, if you like, and this may be helpful to it. If you look back to the current education structure, the Education Act of 1944 is what's guided an awful lot of things that go on now, including school transport and all sorts of things, comes from the 1944 Education Act. The 1944 Education Act came about because of World War II and the government being committed to looking after the troops and their families when they come home. It had that huge impact at the time, and now we're seeing the consequences of that investment.
Are the laptops now working properly? Because as I say, they weren't before.
I don't know the details of cows. I don't know the details of each of the schools.
Just one more question, because I know you've got to go off somewhere. But you mentioned attainment and all the rest of it. You know, there was a time when, you know, we're going probably go back a year, even 6 months ago, that where every week there'd be a school that would be getting slaughtered by the media. You know, I would see over the last 6 months, things are changing, and the tide is turning. How good has it become? Obviously, we've got a long way to go yet, but you know, are we making progress?
Absolutely, and over the next couple of days, there's an Ofsted report. The Ofsted come to the Isle of Wight and inspected the local authority. It still is subject to media constraint, but in the next couple of days, you'll be able to read the report from Ofsted, which highlights the progress that's been made. And I think it makes good reading for the island.
Good.
Well, that's good news. Every time you opened up the paper, every time you clicked on a website, there was, you know, bad news. And I'm not, you know, I'm not criticising the media for doing it, because those kind of things, absolutely, they had to be highlighted.
Ian, they do that, but they don't make a big thing of those who've had a good Ofsted.
Well, that was the other thing. There was a lady from Arrowton who was part of a school that was doing incredibly well, and there was two stories that broke. One of them was a big school on the Isle of Wight that wasn't doing very well, and the good school that was doing very well was on the front page, but this story was chucked on page 23.
That's right.
And you kind of think, yeah, okay, I can understand why you're doing it. And, you know, the facts are the facts. I mean, if a school's not doing very well, which there was a number of schools, sadly, and anybody that's an Isle of Wight person that loves the Isle of Wight and wants our, you know, children to flourish and go and find a decent job somewhere, that's a bit of a kick in the teeth for. But I'm pretty sure that it is changing. It is, you know, we're hearing a lot better news coming out of the media, coming out of the council. But how long will it be before we get to where we should be?
I think we're facing the right direction, and each step along the journey is a better step. But I think it's very hard to gauge when you ever get to the end of that journey. I don't think you are. I think you continually wish to make progress, continually wish to make developments, and continue to make improvements. I don't ever want to rest on being satisfied with where I am. I think, you know, going back to our football analogies, you're only as good as your next game. And I think as long as you keep striving to be better at the next time, everyone in the future gets the best opportunity, and you keep driving on it. I think too often in the past, people become complacent, relaxed, comfortable where they are. The world passes you by, and your communities suffer as a consequence.
Some people say, right, okay, the proof's in the pudding. You've had almost 18 months. The proof's in the pudding now. Do we have lower levels of skiving? That's not the term that we do, don't we? Because that was in the news last week.
Yeah, attendance has improved massively.
Ofsted reports are coming in there pretty good. Yep. So it is beginning to happen. But then other people might look at it a little bit more closely and say, right, what about these people getting jobs? What about the unemployment levels on the island? Because obviously this ultimately leads to kids leaving school and getting jobs. Are we still an unemployment black spot?
In the South East, we've got lower levels of employment or lower levels of wage, a lower wage economy, all those factors. That's going to take a huge time to change that culture and make sure the island's investment is actually the same level as the rest of the country. And getting things like assisted area status, this council's investments in apprenticeships, all of those things are really positive, but don't achieve the outcomes overnight. It's a long-term process. And again, it is about making sure everyone signed up to that. If every small, medium employer on the Isle of Wight employed one person, you'd have a big impact on the employment situation. That's what you've got to look at. It's not creating 1,000 jobs, it's creating one job at every small business. Then you make a huge change. Everyone's got a part to play in this.
Okay, you mentioned the old status there, the helpful status that's
assisted area status.
Assisted, yeah. Are we getting that?
It's coming through the chain. I mean, again, it's one of those things. The major breakthrough is being recognised as the different wards in the island getting that opportunity, and it's going to take a couple of years for that to come through in terms of the benefits to the island. But at least the island's been recognised, and it's because this council, this new administration, has actually worked hard, as you said before, with Councillor Harry Rees from Ventnor. But you keep banging that drum, and we've made an inroad. And I think if we can keep doing that in different areas, then there's a chance of us producing some really good outcomes for our young people on this island, and giving the Isle of Wight the future that I want and you want as islanders, as Shirley want. You know, you really want that for our island, because I care an awful lot about the future of this place.
Now, which shows as well, and I say I know you look knackered as well. You've taken the role on. Did you expect to be doing the amount of hours and the stress that you go through?
It's not so much the stress, it's the hours. I think it was I knew it was a challenge before, but it's such a huge mess we inherit across the piece, safeguarding children, education, attendance. And, you know, I think people want, there was a lack of connectivity. The council were very remote, didn't listen, didn't connect. And therefore, I think we've had to make a huge investment of being seen, going out there, listening, at a time when it's going to be challenging. And there are going to be some tough calls to make. And you've hit the nail on the head. Cows is a perfect example. None of us in this administration want to be spending money on cows. It should have been a project that was completed within the financial regime of 28 million quid. It wasn't. We have a duty to honour that contract. We have a duty to do the right thing for the kids and the community of cows. Do we want to do that above doing Knight and Undercliff, Tottenham Seawall? Probably not. But we have to, because that's the situation we're in. It's a grown-up decision that you have to take. You tell people, quite a lot of people won't be happy with it. I'm sorry, it's the real world. Some people have to make tough decisions. We were given that privilege to represent the island and make tough calls. Explain it, but say, this is the world in which we are.
Hey, look, it's great to talk to you, and thank you for your time, because I know you're busy today.
Thanks, we'll
let you know. But what we've got to do is we've got to get you guys in on a regular basis, because I think the communication, and this is partly our fault because we haven't communicated, because I think we owe it to ourselves, all of us. We need to be communicating and getting the word out there, so, you know, people will fully understand and appreciate what you're actually doing and why. I think that's fair enough.
No, thank you, and thanks for a good morning as well. Guys.
That's all right. I'm sorry about Shirley. Did she keep touching your knee? She does normally. Thank you, Richard.
Cheers, mate.